Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. It is me, Dov, from Forza Time Football. Again, you're definitely getting sick of the number of these podcasts by the time you're listening to this one. But unfortunately, you don't have to listen to me ramble for too long, because this time I'm joined by Nima from SempreInter.com to talk about Milan, obviously, right, Nima?
Yeah, we want to talk about Inter Milan, I hope.
Yeah, there you go. So we're going to talk about Inter today. It's the mid-season. It's lovely and perfect. It's lovely and symmetrical right in the middle of the season, so we can see what's happened in the past few months and then speculate as to what could happen in the next few months as well, and what's going to happen with Inter. If I recall correctly, and bear in mind I am old and I can't remember things properly, it's like when we spoke before the season started, you were quite optimistic after a good transfer campaign, getting into the Champions League, and things started fantastically well for you guys, apart from the wee blip at Parma, but apart from that, everything was good and you were winning games left, right and centre, winning in the Champions League, winning in Serie A, it was going great guns. Then it went a bit off track, so... What's happened?
Well, I mean, if I recall, and you and I are the same age, so you know, if you don't remember, then I can't either. But if I remember correctly, I remember that I said that this season Inter's job and goal and aim is to build and improve on last season, and what that means was go qualify from the group stages in the Champions League to the round of 16. It was to finish third in the Serie A and maybe, you know, a minimum semi-final in the Coppa Italia. Now, one of those objectives has failed, and that is the Champions League. But there's if we look at how Inter were knocked out and how Inter failed to qualify from that group in the Champions League, there's a couple of things that spring to mind. Number one is the fact that Inter beat Tottenham at home and PSV away and drew against Barcelona is very good. This is you have to remember that this is a team that has not been in Europe's best club competition for 7-8 years, and the fact that Icardi scores 4 goals, the fact that Inter win 2 matches and draw 1 against top clubs, mm-hmm. In a situation where Inter were anything but the favourites to go through from that group of death.
Well, you were 4th seed in the, I think, as well, were you not?
Yeah, we were in the last, last pot. Yeah, last pot. And therefore, Inter got the group they got. And to be able to not qualify based on the away goal rule, because Inter lost 1-0 at Wembley against Spurs, but 1-2-1 at home at the San Siro, and that away goal is the reason why Inter don't qualify. That is a very, very good result in and of itself. But if you look at the fact that Inter had everything in their own hands, all they needed to do was to beat PSV at home.
PSV at home, easy, right, Nima? Easy.
Well, that's when Inter is Inter. When Inter are expected to win easy at home, it rarely goes that way. And this is exactly what we saw. We saw Asamoah, who's been one of the most consistent performers this season, completely lose his head, and that ends up in a goal. And Inter don't recover from that, to be honest, and because it sent shockwaves through that team in a way that we haven't seen since the days of Mazzarri. Because even Spalletti after the game said that what he didn't like was the fact that the team looked a little bit stressed and panicked in the first half of the goal. And that's, I think, a valuable lesson for this team, because they have, in the Serie A, been able to deliver the goods when having the pressure of winning. But when it comes to Europe, they're not used to that in this way. And that was a test. They failed, but not spectacularly. They failed it, but they were so close, so that's something good. But on the other hand, Inter have to beat PSV at home, and that's just how it is. So it's double-edged.
Yeah, it's like there are lots of positives, like you say, because you've got lots of good results, but then at the end of the day, you've got one game where you need to beat a team which you read, like you say, you should be beating at home, let's be honest, and you don't do it, which kind of then ultimately leads to a bit of disappointment, I thought, as well.
Well, it did. It really did. And it also led to Luciano Spalletti being heavily criticised by the media, by the fans, and I think actually quite fairly, because what he did in the PSV game was simply not good enough. He didn't prepare the team mentally good enough. He didn't, you know, sure, it was in the middle of a very difficult, run of games. It was the Juventus game, blah, blah, blah. But it's still, you know, that is not an excuse for Inter. Inter is supposed to be able to play world-class teams every three days. This team is built for that. And they showed that they failed on the last hurdle. They're close, but they're not quite there yet. Personally, I think in the long run, that's a good thing for Inter. Mm-hmm. I think Inter need to be hungry and not sit back and relax. That's when Inter is at its best.
Well, one of the, actually the best performances, of, like kind of going back to Serie A, of what I thought of Inter the season was away to Juve, where I think if Gagliardini put a shot just a little bit to the right, so it kind of went in off the post rather than bounced out, then you've got a completely different game. And I thought Inter were brilliant in that game. I was very, very impressed.
I agree with that. I thought Inter, especially in the first half, were really, really good against Juventus.
And definitely.
That's just unlucky. If you hit the post, and you know, they created some other chances as well, where they squandered the chances. But the post is just unlucky. But what we saw against the Juventus, what I found the most interesting, was the new Icardi, as I like to call it, because he's no longer this number nine who's invisible for 89 minutes, 90 minutes in the penalty box in no man's land until a ball comes in that he can, you know, pounce on. He is now a modern number nine who is very much interested in being involved in the link-up play, is very interested in assisting his other attackers and midfielders, and he's really, really good at it. And that is something that I thought, you know, before that it was a discussion of, well, maybe it was just this game, or, you know, is this an actual change? I think against Juventus we really saw that this is an actual change. And that is thanks to Spalletti, who I think has, since taking over this team, gotten so many players to raise themselves a level. in terms of quality.
Yeah, no, completely. And can I add into that? Obviously, you beat Napoli 1-0 as well. So it's kind of like there's definitely a progression there, like from last season as well. So I think kind of what you were saying, you wanted to see Inter improve. I think say maybe regard the Champions League out, taking that away, there's definitely improvement there, which I think is good. Looking at some of the summer signings then, I want to get your thoughts on them, because obviously Lautaro's came in, did reasonably well when he's played. Asamoah, who you mentioned, has been super consistent. De Vrij. But the one who's maybe the anomaly is Mr. Rajanangolan. Yeah, he likes his nightclubs, he likes to smoke, he likes to have a drink, likes to be late for training, and then kind of, I don't know, how do you see the situation there? Because it looked like everything was fine, and then maybe in the last, say, month or so, maybe the rails have been gone off a little bit. What do you think?
Well, the wheels haven't completely come off.
Yeah, not completely.
Yet. Not completely, but they were very close when he, on Christmas Day, that audio of him leaked on social media of him saying that he wants to return to Roma, and that if Totti is his friend, he will take him back, and how Inter fans who make fun of him now and say that he's done and he's over, he will tell them to F off and show them on the pitch how he, you know, all that stuff, that came out on Christmas Day and ruined Christmas for Inter, in a situation where Inter were trying to bury that whole thing. Now, what I think saved that whole thing was how incredibly professional Beppe Marotta handled it. He came out and said that, look, Inter have fined Nainggolan. We've spoken about all our problems. We are all okay. Everyone's on the same page. Let's move on. Now, the fact that they fined him and they suspended him from being part of the team as a marking that this behavior is not okay.
For the Napoli game as well, Nima. It's not like he was suspended for like Sassuolo or Chievo. He was suspended for a massive, massively important match.
Exactly. And that goes to show that they meant business. And that was brilliantly handled by Marotta, I think. I think he passed, you know, the guy has had anything but a quiet start to his career at Inter, but he's handled every situation really, really well, especially the Nainggolan situation, because what happens after that is that Nainggolan understands the seriousness of what's going on, and instead starts working on his own, starts, you know, really, really gives the signals to the club that he wants to be the player Inter bought. So this is, you know, it remains to be seen if he actually can, and that's what that is the most important thing. But I think ever since then, that has been handled really well by the club, and I think actually that Nainggolan has also accepted that he's done wrong without much fuss, which I think needs to be credited as well, because nowadays footballers are how often do footballers take it that way?
Exactly. It's not very often. Normally, if they throw their toys at the pram, the toys stay out the pram and they go somewhere else. So
exactly. And this did not happen. Yeah. But if we look at how I mean, we have to be fair to Nainggolan as well, because this guy did not have a proper preseason. He was injured after a few days, and he missed the entire preseason. He's been playing catch up since. I personally think that the winter break came at a perfect time for him, that allowed him to work himself back to the same level as the others. Because I don't subscribe to the idea that he's finished like that. I don't think he's as good as he was. I think he peaked at Roma, absolutely, but I don't think we're talking about a player who's a shambles now. That I don't agree.
No, definitely not. Who of the other summer signings then have kind of, or which one of them has kind of impressed you the most of the guys that came in?
I mean, I knew De Vrij was good, so I'm not at all, surprised by that. I knew how good he was, and I knew, and I was looking forward to watching him and Skriniar play together, and so that wasn't a surprise. Asamoah was, I knew, you know, he's a really good player, and he's been for Juve and Udinese for years, and we knew kind of what we were getting there. But I, you know, the player that we signed over the summer, which I had the most expectations on, simply because I'm a big fan of his, has not underwhelmed, but he hasn't exactly overwhelmed either, and that's Keita Balde. But he seems to be on his way, like his form, his personal form is pointing in the right direction. So I'm hoping for him to have a really, really strong second part of the season. Other than that, I think Lautaro has played at the level and you know that you can expect from a young kid that just came from Argentina to the Serie A. I think I'm a little bit disappointed with Versalco, but that's not mainly down to his performances, but it's more exactly the guy was injured in the World Cup, but because he was, you know, it was Croatia in the World Cup, he kind of played injured to get them to the World Cup final, which is commendable. So the jury's still out on him. I have to say that the player that has surprised me positively the most is Politano. I'm really surprised by how well he has adapted to Inter, to playing for Inter in the Serie A, but also in the Champions League. That is something I did not see coming, and I was critical of him in the beginning of the season, you know, saying that he was a little bit of a one-trick pony. But that doesn't matter if it works.
Everybody says that about Arjen Robben. So he can Arjen only do Robben, one thing, but exactly. Yeah, it works, so it doesn't matter.
It works. It's been working for a decade, and pretty damn well, too. So, you know, who cares? And with Politano, I think he's really surprised me in a really positive way.
There you go. Right, what about all these late goals then? Because I'm looking at the results now. You've got 90 minutes, Sampdoria win. D'Ambrosio, 77 minutes against Fiorentina, equals win. Icardi, 78 minutes against Spal, equals win. Icardi, 90th minute against Milan, equals win. Icardi again, 76 minute against Udinese, equals win. And then Lautaro, 90th minute against Napoli, equals win. And then that's obviously discounting the late goals in the Champions League. What's going on, Nemo? Why didn't Inter decide to score in the last 15 minutes of games to win matches?
You know, that to me is one of the most positive aspects for me as an Interista, simply because that it wasn't by chance that Sir Alex Ferguson's Man United always scored towards the end. Mm-hmm. Because when players are tired, quality has to show. Yeah. It's not luck and it's not chance. And if it was once or twice for Inter, fine. But this is a pattern, and that is a good sign because it shows that the team doesn't give up until the very end, and it shows that they wear teams down. And that is what a big team, big club should do. So I'm really, that is actually, I think, the most positive thing of this first half of the season.
Do you think is it just a fitness thing that Spalletti's kind of like work because he's worked with the team for a bit longer, so he's managed to get them fitter so that they can last longer in games, and then obviously when they're playing the likes of say Spal or Milan or Udinese, that the quality does shine through? Or do you think it's kind of something with the mentality? Because that's what you used to moan about last season all the time, how the mentality wasn't there. But what do you think it is, mental or physical?
I think it's both. I think it's a combination of both. The fact that he has installed a big club winner mentality in the Serie A in these players, and also the fact that they're fitter. They're really, really fitter, and these players can do more for longer periods of time. So for me, it's actually both of those things, plus the fact that he's got them playing football that is really, really hard to withstand pressure over 90 minutes. Mm. Even though the Serie A is such a tactically, you know, the teams are so tactically skilled and intelligent, at the end, you know, towards the 90th, 80th, 75th minute and onwards, the players are tired and they start making mistakes. But Inter continue to pile on the pressure and be relentless in their attacking and game plan, and it pays off. So I think it's a combination of all of those things.
There we go. Right, so we're in January. We're about halfway through. Are you expecting much business from Beppe Marotta in his first transfer window, or do you think Inter pretty much settled for the season?
No, I mean, it's very clear that Inter, due to this being hopefully the last 6 months of the settlement agreement with UEFA, they know they have to sell in order to buy. So I don't expect Inter to do really any big business in January, unless that big business is for June, for the summer, at the end of June, 1st of July, when the transfer window opens again. So that's why I think a lot of teams are working like that. I think Juventus are working like that. I think, you know, Milan, you know, disregarding Paqueta, the Brazilian. How do you pronounce his name? Is it Paqueta?
I would say Paqueta.
Paqueta, okay. Yeah, so so he you know, except for that, I don't expect... I mean, the January transfer window is known as the Mercato dei Contorni. You know, it's the exactly. It's the condiments transfer window, where you need to, you know, you need to fix whatever you can, because it's not been working. But for Inter, it's been working. And Steven Zhang, the president, Inter's president, said that if there is opportunities, we will obviously take them. But in January, those are very, very difficult to come across. So the way I look at it, Inter are working really hard on fixing the squad ahead of next season already. And that is something Marotta has been really good at Juve. And I'm really pleased to see that he's bringing that mentality to Inter.
Yeah, well, you're not going to get Luka Modric in January, let's be honest. You'll have to wait until someone to get him. Right. Now, the other kind of, I say this transfer news, but it's not really, well, kind of is transfer news. Mauro Icardi, he's the captain, he's the big man. He's wanting a new contract, but he's wanting loads of money.
Really? Does he want a new contract? I've missed that.
Did you not see it? Oh, honestly, no, it's a, maybe hidden on like the like page 8 of Gazetta or something. Yeah, but it's been out.
Especially the Gazetta.
Yeah. So what's happening, right? Because he's the captain, he's the bandiera, he's the symbol of Inter, right? It's like, and the kind of rumors, which I find honestly a bit stupid, like him going to Juventus, for example, like. But let's be, that's not going to happen, is it? You're not going to see the captain of Inter go to Juve. Like, what, Nima, what has happened? What's going on with this? Because it just strikes me as ridiculous.
I mean, the whole thing started when Wanda, one night before the Inter Christmas party, went on an Italian TV show, Tiki Taka, and basically threw the Inter directors under the bus by saying that they, in the summer, wanted to ship Icardi to Juventus in exchange for Higuain, but not that it was their idea, but Juventus came up with the offer and Inter wanted to do it, but it was Icardi who pulled the plug and said he didn't want to because he loves Inter. She did that the day before the Christmas party, and after that, I mean, do you know what I mean? Sitting next to each other on the table. I mean, you know. Anyway, so what happens after that is Marotta and especially Ausilio go out and say that we don't negotiate in the media. That's not how we work. We like to do these things privately. Then, you know, we have the Christmas break, and she this week is in Argentina, and TYC Sports in Argentina name her as the source, having confirmed to them that Icardi will not sign a new contract with Inter. This goes off as a bomb this week. About an hour later, she walks that back, saying that we could sign a new contract with Inter at any point, but we're far from signing a new contract. Now, the Gazetta say the day after this that they... Inter, they report that, according to their sources, Inter are not happy with this kind of negotiating and this kind of tactic from Wanda, and they want Icardi to change his agent. Now, his reaction to that is to go on Instagram and take a print screen of this article and complete and call it bullshit, and say that this he's going to be with Wanda as long as he lives, as long as his career is.
That's not a good thing to criticize Wanda with the article.
Yeah, I mean, he said he's never going to leave her. He's very happy with everything they've done together so far, and she's going to represent him until the day he hangs up his boots. Now, what that tells me is a couple of things. Number one, I don't really care that much about the whole, media circus between them and the Gazeta, because personally, I think that's completely the most uninteresting aspect of all of this. Because what Icardi also says in that Instagram post is that he will sign a new contract with Inter when they present him with a correct offer.
Yeah.
A correct, and that to me says a couple of things. Number one is he outs that the club has not given him a correct offer.
Mm.
He says that he's not been given any offer, and that's not what the club wanted to come out, because they want to take their time when it comes to contract negotiations. As you know, under Suning, it's been like this. They don't like to be rushed. This takes a kind of a life of its own. And my interpretation of all of this is that, you know, Wanda, you know, a lot of people criticize her because she's, you know, his wife and she's too personal and all that nonsense. I don't do that. I don't really think that's relevant. What I think is relevant, though, is the fact that.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
The way she talks about Inter's directors and the way she throws them under the bus, and how Icardi, the club captain, the day after, goes out and says that, you know, when he says that he will sign a new contract when he gets a correct offer, that means, that implies, without being said, that he has so far not been given a correct offer, which implies that the club have not been professional in the way they've handled him. Now, you cannot do this. My experience of Italy is you can criticize the club as a player to a certain extent, but you cannot completely throw them under the bus the way the Icardis have done, because when he says that he's happy with what she's done and he stands by her and everything she's done, that means that he explicitly is in agreement with everything that she's done up until now. And that is also a really heavy punch in the gut of the directors. So he goes off on a double salvo like that. She uses the media to plant these stories, and she doesn't even hide that it's her that's planting these stories, which is a new tactic.
As it's certainly a new tactic. It's all being transparent these days, Neva, and all stuff.
Like, yeah, exactly. and what happens after that is that the club go out and try to walk, you know, calm this down and say that, you know, we'll meet and we'll have a negotiation and we'll see where we end up. But this is exactly as you started your question, saying that, but he's the captain. And this behavior, this disruptive behavior, which he defends so wholeheartedly, is not something the club captain should be doing. And that's where the criticism comes from, that they should be able to talk with each other via private conversations as opposed to Instagram stories. And that is the criticism I have to all of this, is the fact that absolutely he deserves a better contract. There is no doubt about it. I mean, look at all the players that make more money than him. He's 10th highest paid player in the Serie A. There's 9 players ahead of him. I understand that he feels disrespected and that he should have a contract worthy of a top player. No doubt about it. And I understand that he's frustrated that Inter have not tried to make that a priority.
But do you think that's Inter in that they can't afford it? In the sense that they can't afford to see, obviously they can't afford to give him Ronaldo style wages. But do you think it's maybe kind of they don't want to go too crazy with their wage bill, because that could lead to other players wanting loads of money, and then things kind of spiral from there?
That's exactly what it is, because you have to remember that there's an Ivan Perisic in there who recently signed a contract that makes him the highest, on par with Mauro Icardi. And you have to remember these top, you know, top players, they usually have clauses that when one player becomes the highest, then their wages have to also rise by a certain percentage. And that's why I think is what makes Inter so apprehensive, because they don't want to go crazy on the wage bill. I think that is, you know, the short answer. But personally, and I don't have any, I want to make this absolutely clear, this is not what I want to happen. This is not what I'm saying is going to happen. This is what I think will happen. Mm-hmm. I think that Inter want to part ways with Mauro Icardi, but they can't just let him go in any way, in any shape, size, or form. I think they have to play their cards right, and to frustrate him by doing the antics that she and him have been doing, in order to make themselves persona non grata with the fans.
So which they, is they, already, they can't be seen to just let him leave easily. It's got to be like the situation becomes so toxic, in quotation marks, that they have no choice, in a sense. So
that's what I think we're dealing with here. I think it's a situation where, irrespective of if Icardi signs a new contract within the next weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, personally, I think that he will leave in the summer. That's what I think. I think Inter will want to cash in on him and replace him. Simply because if you look at everything that has happened, and also if you look at, you know, you have to remember that there's a lot of politics involved here as well. Steven Zhang is only 26 years old. He's a really young, he's the youngest president ever. You know, he has to look the part, you know what I mean? And being young is already a disadvantage to him in Italy. And secondly, in Italy, you cannot attack il padrone this way, constantly going, you know, going head to head against them in this way, so blatantly, that the Icardis have done for the past 2-3 years.
No player is bigger than a club, whatever the club may be.
Exactly. I think that's what we're dealing with here, and Suning are businessmen. There's no doubt about it, and they look at, they weigh their options. Now, obviously, if Icardi leaves, it's not like he'll be replaced by Andrea Pinamonti, okay? You know,
Sergio Blisi has apparently been rumored to be leaving Kiev soon, mate. So, you can get a good 10-15 goals at him.
Definitely, Thomas Sorocchi Part 2. No, but seriously, if he leaves, I think he will be replaced by one or two big name midfielders, and a striker. Maybe not the Cristiano Ronaldo level of striker, but I think someone in the, you know, if we're talking players, young players, I think someone like a Piontek or a Giovanni Simeone, or you know what I mean, like someone in that bracket that has a resale value and has development potential.
And it's also a good level to start with as well.
Exactly, and they will try to make that up by bringing in someone like I think Sergej Milinkovic-Savic, Toni Kroos, Modric. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like that kind of midfield player to make up for the quality. But that's how I read the tea leaves. And again, this is not what I want to happen. This is not what I think will. This is not what I wish to happen. This is not what I, you know, have saying will happen. This is what I think will happen.
Mm-hmm. There we go. I did not expect that to come out of this conversation, I'll be perfectly honest with you. Right. Just to finish up then. Second half of the season, you've got the Coppa Italia, the Europa League. You're sitting third in Serie A, 5 points behind Napoli, but you're pretty much you're as good as miles ahead of Lazio and Milan. What do Inter do in the second half of the season?
Inter finish third, try to close the gap against the Napoli as much as they can. I doubt very much they will be able to reach Napoli. I doubt that highly. I think Inter will finish third and be close to second. I think Inter will make at least the semi-final in the Coppa Italia and quarter-final, semi-final in the Europa League, which is becoming more and more of a priority for the club the more time passes after the Champions League exit, which I think is completely correct. If you're in a competition, go for it.
Here's one. I was talking to our good friend Marco Palmieri, who's Serie A commentator extraordinaire, and also he likes the Inter. And he said, he's like, don't care about the Europa League. He wants Inter to make sure they win the Coppa Italia so Juventus don't win the treble.
I think that's the number. I think that is what the club thinks as well. I think they need a title this season. I think that they need some kind of silverware that shows them that they're on the right track. I think if they had gone through to the round of 16 in the Champions League, that would not have been such a pressing issue, simply because of the fact that they, you know, qualified from the group of death. But not having done that, I think silverware becomes more pressing now than it otherwise would have.
And when do you take Coppa Italia or Europa League? What would you rather have?
I'd rather have the Europa League because it's a continental competition. And I think that Juventus will win the treble. I've been, you know, anyone who follows me on Twitter knows that I've been thinking that they will do that for the past two times they've been in the final of the Champions League. This is what Allegri, you know, that's why Allegri is at Juventus. It's to win the treble. That's why he's still there. And all of Juventus is almost obsessed with this. That they cannot let Inter be the only club to have won the treble. They cannot let Mourinho be the only manager to have, like, this is a thorn in their side. And I think they will manage to do this. I don't know if it's this year or next year. But I think they will do it over the next two seasons. I think their biggest chances this season to win the treble, but it remains to be seen because the Serie A is getting much more tighter than it has been in a very, very long time. Although Juventus are, you know, running away with it if you look at the table, but you can start to see signs of things moving in the right direction.
From Juventus downwards. You take Juventus out of it, yeah, it's getting tighter, but Juventus have stretched away from everybody there.
But that's not so weird if you think about it.
Yeah, I mean,
buy Cristiano Ronaldo, you buy the most prolific goal scorer in the history of the Champions League.
He scores 14 goals in the first half of the season, so what can you do? Right, Nima. We don't want to finish an Inter podcast talking about Juve.
No, we don't. We absolutely don't.
So we do not want to do that. Right, so if you obviously, I assume everybody listening to this knows Ema is the boss at SempreInter.com. So go and, if you're obviously Inter fans, if you don't already, go there and visit there. They also do their own podcast on Inter. It's the Studio Inter podcast. And you can get links to all that in the article and in the description of this one. So go and do that. You can follow Nima on Twitter as well. And the link is down below. Have I left anything out anymore? Did I get all my plugs in?
I think you got everything spot on there, to be honest. Thank Brilliant. You so much. I think I love this podcast. I love doing these with you. It's always a nice conversation, so thanks a lot.
Yeah, not a problem, and we'll definitely talk later in the season to see how Inter are getting on.
Of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays.
Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.